Give the invocation, please.
Yes, sir. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed on our community, and we pray for your guidance that our decisions will be for the good of our community. Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number one on the agenda is approval of the agenda. We have a motion and a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Number two, consider approval of Resolution 2020-16, a resolution making certain budgetary adjustments to the 2019-2020 fiscal year budget. Ms. Alston.
Mayor, Council, thank you for allowing me to present these adjustments to you this evening. Although these adjustments did not go before the Budget Committee, we feel that they're very straightforward, and we have reviewed these with certain members as well. The first two are adjustments to the general fund. The first one is a donation that the city received from XTO for COVID-19 EMS supplies and PPE. So all we're doing here is increasing our donations by $6,161 and increasing our corresponding expenditure by the same amount. And this will go to the fire department. The fire department has been purchasing all the city's PPE for COVID-19. The second one is a grant from the Department of Health and Human Services. This grant was for $28,000. So again, we are increasing our revenues $28,000 for donations and increasing the corresponding operating cost in the fire department $28,000. The second one is a lodger's tax non-promotional adjustment. The city is requesting $30,000 for the restoration of a classic police vehicle. Several years ago, the city was donated a 1940 Plymouth Deluxe police car. It's a four-door with a three-speed manual transmission and a six-cylinder motor. And the city's very fortunate that we have the opportunity to restore and showcase this car in parades, car shows, and other city events. And finally, we have an adjustment to the CDBG project, which is the remediation of the Pate School to become the next senior center. These funds were already approved. It's just taking the funds from the capital outlay fund and putting those funds into the CDBG fund into that project.
Questions?
That's all.
Ms. Alston? Thank you, Ms. Alston.
Thank you.
Mayor, I see our presentations as being valid and good investments in our future, especially in the Senior Citizen Center and the remediation of Pate Elementary, and I'm really looking forward to that opening up. And with that, I make a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Alston. Number three, routine and regular business. All matters under this heading are considered routine by the City Council and will be acted upon in one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items. If discussion is desired on a particular item, upon request, that item may be removed from the routine and regular business and be considered separately. And I would like to ask Ken Brett to briefly discuss C1.
Mayor and members of the council, this item is related to the Bureau of Land Management firefighting crew. They lease a small area at the airport for support of their firefighting efforts for wildfire in our area. We historically have leased this small piece of land to them for $1 a year. This is an annual renewal, basically.
Questions or comments for Mr. Brett? Thank you, Mr. Brett. Any other questions or comments on the routine and regular business?
Make a motion for approval, Mayor.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter. Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
All items under routine and regular business have passed. Number four, consider approval authorizing the city to apply and accept a CARES Act funding grant for the Cavern City Air Terminal for $69,000. Again, Mr. Britt.
Mayor and members of the council, this is a CARES Act grant to the city of Carlsbad through the Federal Aviation Association, the FAA, in the term of $69,000. Basically, this is for operations at the airport. The city has basically no match in this grant. It's a straight out offer of $69,000, and we just need to make application to receive it.
Question for Mr. Britt. Thank you, Mr. Britt.
Thank you.
Mayor, move for approval.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Number five, consider approval authorizing the submission of a New Mexico Humanities Grant application to implement programs using digital tools for the Carlsbad Museum and Arts Center. Ms. Testa.
Good evening. Thank you, Mayor and Council members. Before you is a request to authorize submission of this application. It's a major grant. It's not a CARES Act, but what the funding agency is doing is that they're using their annual program to prioritize online and virtual programs as we deal with the current COVID situation. So if approved, the Carlsbad Museum and Arts Center is excited to partner with the Juntos Art Association and curator Diana Molina on to provide a program titled Picture Your Garden. This will be an extension to an upcoming exhibit already planned for summer of 2021. So museum staff has previously worked with Ms. Molina on the Run exhibit. If you had a chance to come out and participate in that exhibit, it was incredible. She's highly motivated and brought some interesting and interactive programs to Carlsbad. She's very proactive in her outreach efforts, and she's also has a positive track record with the funding agency. The application is due May 1st, and if funded, it will provide approximately $12,000 in grant funds and with a commitment from the city of $12,000 also. So I stand before with any questions, if you have any.
Questions for Ms. Testa? Thank you, Ms. Testa.
Thank you.
Mayor, I move for approval.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Number six, consider approval of temporary use application to allow temporary housing as a temporary use at 401 Rio Hondo Avenue, zoned RR Rural Residential District, applicant Gregory Perez. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. This item is a request for temporary housing located at 401 Rio Hondo Avenue. The zoning for the piece of property is rural residential, which meets our requirement. The acreage is 2.75 acres, which also meets our minimum requirement for acreage. The applicant has submitted a site plan that meets most of our requirements and has met with city staff concerning utilities to the five spaces that he wants to create on the property. However, city staff and the planning department is aware of the downturn in oil and gas activity, and the planning department has surveyed the already approved RV, temporary RV parks, and noticed that there are significant vacancy in those parks. Also, the planning department is aware of significant pushback from the surrounding neighborhood that is against this proposed development. And so the planning department would recommend denial. The applicant presented this item before the Planning and Zoning Commission at the April 9th, 2020 special commission meeting. The commission considered the application and staff comments and voted to recommend denial of the request with a vote of 3 in favor of denial and 2 against denial.
Question for Mr. Patterson. Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Do we have anyone that wants to speak for? We state your name for the record, please.
My name is Gregor Chris. I'm a homeowner for 401 Rio Hondo. The whole reason I built this RV site here for my residence, and I emailed all y'all a copy of my letter that I wrote, is it's not a traditional RV park. It's a safe place for families when they get hired, newly hired law enforcement, medical personnel, or any public servants. I don't charge a whole lot. I don't even ask for security deposits. If they miss a payment, they miss a payment. But like my thing is to get them here and get them established. And so with saying that, I know I've discussed with the neighbors about the issues we had. I've had RVs there for a year, you know, and they just put a sign up, the last planning and zoning, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's an issue now. They never came to me before with that. And being in the River Bend community, I love the people there. I think that's probably the best place to have law enforcement and medical personnel. We have a lot of experience that's there right now. I mean, if that train is blocking Mission, I mean, we're one hop over the fence to get there and respond, and that's what we do. So with saying that, I mean, I hope that the council members will consider approval for the temporary housing park.
Questions for Mr. Perez? Thank you, Mr. Perez. Anyone else for the use? And will you state your name for the record, please?
Sure. My name is Jennifer Chavez. I'm the dispatch supervisor for the Carlsbad Police Department. I myself am a recipient of assistance from the city in housing. Without that assistance, I would have had to leave Carlsbad and left the department shorthanded. I've been with the department 4 years now. I love it. I don't want to go anywhere. I've known Mr. Perez as a patrol officer. I've known him as a detective. I've known him now as a sergeant. And he'll put his name and his life on the line for this whole town and our department. I don't think that he's wanting anything other than to provide this city with the best patrol officers, medical personnel, teachers, nurses, doctors. That's what he's providing these spots for, and it's temporary until they can get their foot into a house, a permanent residence, a freestanding residence. So just also take that into consideration. This isn't something that's going to be your typical run-of-the-mill RV park where they're going to be there always. They're going to be diesel trucks running up and down. It's going to be loud and noisy type of people that we've all come to know in an oil-filled town. It's going to be respectable people that are upstanding citizens. That's all.
Okay. Question from the council? Thank you. Anyone else for the use? Yes. State your name for the record, please.
My name is Jacob Marcus. I'm a patrol officer with the Carlsbad Police Department. I went into the academy this past year. I started in February. Coming towards the end of the academy, I was searching desperately for a place to live. I have my wife and my five-month-old baby. They were coming from El Paso. It seemed like an extreme task to find a place to live, at least somewhere decently priced. You know, I really didn't know at the time Detective Perez a whole lot, but he just seemed to offer that lending hand. It really seemed like a blessing. At the same time, he really didn't charge me a lot either. He advised me at the time he's willing to help. I told him I'm going to bring my wife, my baby, even my dog. It didn't seem to bother him one bit. You know, there was times where I had a lot going on with my family, with my baby, medical bills, you know, just life comes at you. He was understanding. At this point in time, I now own a house here in Carlsbad. You know, just him lending that hand gave me the opportunity to pay my bills, catch up on finances, and at the same time save money. So he told me countless times. Initially I was hesitant, but he let me know he's selective on who he allows there, law enforcement, first responders, the select few. It was just really a blessing. That's all I really have to say about that.
Question from the council? No, thank you. Anyone else for the use?
I am Patricia Lopez. I'm a detective at the Carlsbad Police Department. When I first came to Carlsbad, I lived in a man camp, and it was absolutely no fun. It was loud. It was expensive. The water was horrible. It took me 25, 30 minutes to get to town. I had to fight the traffic. When Mr. Perez offered up his place, I jumped on it. It was a blessing to me. It's secure, it's private, a few minutes from work. And for somebody who can't afford a $200,000, $300,000 house, it's perfect. Thank you.
Question from the council? Thank you. Anyone else for the use? If not, do we have anyone that would like to speak against the use? Yes. State your name for the record, please.
Mayor, commissioners, my name is Jeannie Watson. I'm the sales and marketing director for Lakeview Christian Home, and as such, I'm the manager for this property at Riverbend Retirement Community. It exists of about 20 acres of prime property. We are a multi-million dollar property, and we sent out thousands of dollars of advertising across the country to bring in retirees for this city, and we've been very successful at it. We were very surprised when Officer Perez began putting RVs in the backyard. If you've got the package before you, I hope you do, from planning and zoning, you'll see that my property in particular, as well as Mr. Boatman's here, we walk outside and they're literally right there. They're as close as you and I are, Mayor. Big RVs. There was never a question of talking to us to see if they could get permission. Obviously, we would not have wanted that, but in response to his comment, we didn't make a big fuss. And to his credit, he has a wonderful heart, and he and his wife have been wonderful in our community. We appreciate everything that the officer has done, and certainly our hearts go out to all of these other officers that he's helped. We love police officers, and we love the fact that they're there in our community, but certainly not in an RV and not in this particular situation. That was in by no means a nod in approval of that. When we learned that it was going before the proper channels to finally become approved legally, we jumped at the chance to be heard as a community, and that's the right format for this to take place. So we would request that you deny this zone change, please. Thank you.
Questions for Ms. Watson? Thank you, Ms. Watson. Anyone else?
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Robert Boatman, and as Jeannie stated, very much appreciate what Mr. Perez is doing and his heart for the effort that he's taken place. But as we recognize that there is opportunity in places for RV parks, and from my perspective, having an RV park, you can see the diagram that's up there. The first RV park, quite frankly, is 50 feet from my back door. And, you know, this is my retirement home that I moved to setting up retirement in the community of Carlsbad, and obviously my vision for retirement and investing into my retirement in Carlsbad, didn't envision having an RV park in my backyard. And so and the thing that I would, that I know you guys are taking into consideration and stuff like that, if the zoning ever gets changed, it's wide open at that point. You know, there's no, from my understanding, there's no standard as to the quality of RVs. I mean, they could be older RVs that may be in bad repair and those kind of things. And it, for the sake of RVs typically over time when they age, they become looking junky. And that's not, you know, what I invested in, having that in my backyard. The septic tank, the blue square there is actually the septic collection tank. And I don't know if that's permanent or long-term or what, but that's where it's at. It's literally 10 feet, 12 feet on the other side of that fence on the property line. There's 16 residents of River Bend that share that property line with the property line that the RV site's in. So there's 16 people that are directly, or 16 residents that are directly impacted by this visually and, you know, the against our backyards there. And that's a retirement community. That's the draw to Carlsbad for people to come. And long-term effect could be the fact that people don't want to come and live in a retirement community if that's there, especially in the fact that, you know, there is sites available now, most especially for RV sites that are already established in more proper places for that to take place. So that's my perspective. So I'm requesting that the petition is, or the request is, denied.
Okay. Question from the council.
Mayor?
Thank you.
If I may,
Councilman?
I'd like to ask Jeff Patterson a question. Jeff? Yes, sir. Is this zoned for what they're doing right now? Is it zoned for that purpose?
It is zoned appropriately for the temp use. Yes. It's rural residential.
They can put these, if they, in that area. Is that right?
He can, if it's approved, if the temp use is approved, then yes, he could.
But it's
but he
not.
He can't hold this without the approval.
But we're kind of a cart before the horse, right? Right?
Well, yes, he's moved the RVs in and have had them there for a while.
Yeah.
Prior to approval, yes, sir.
Okay, so we should have already done this before this, right?
That's correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure that's clear.
Okay. Further questions from the council? Councilman?
For no permits have been pulled for this property at all?
Or as far as the utility work go, I would have to let the applicant answer what permits he's pulled. He's not had his temporary use, temporary housing permit approved yet.
What about connecting for septic? And
He has met with the utilities department. I don't know if he's actually made connection to the water and sewer there or not. I know that he was working toward that, but I'm not sure.
I just recently, 2 weeks ago, hooked up to the city sewer. I spent about $12,000 doing that. I got a high lift station to put back there, and then, you know, get the inspector out there to get it all approved and everything. So that is in the works. My house right now, it was built in 1974. It's been on a septic for over 30 years and haven't had any issues, you know, with that. And I plan on upgrading that and putting a high lift station there, and that's going to be another $5,000. So I'm doing, you know, I'm trying. I did do it without the permit. I didn't know the routes to go. My main goal was to give these police officers and these medical personnel a place to live. And there was a high need at that time. And if there isn't a high need, which we're not oil and gas, we're public servants. If there isn't a need, I'm not going to put welders or pipeliners back there. It's going to be strictly police officers, medical professionals. I mean, my family lives there. I got two kids that I have to worry about. I'm not going to put someone into that I don't know or trust. So yeah, all that is going to be approved, and an inspector needs to go up there and check electrical. I'm willing to dig it up and show them, you know, that it is done correctly and be up to date and beat up the code.
Further questions from the council? Councilman?
For clarification, we're not considering a zone change. We're considering a temporary use permit, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
I have a question.
Councilman?
For legal, it shows that she requested a denial as well. I just want to know why.
I'm sorry?
A denial by our legal department. I want to know why she requested a denial or recommended.
Essentially for the same reasons that Mr. Patterson has already discussed, a combination of the fact that it has been the cart before the horse and that this is not necessarily, we already understood that the neighborhood was not happy with this and that whether or not this was a need that was we needed to fill with this.
Thank you.
Further questions?
One Councilman? More, Jeff Mayor, I'm sorry. You said it meets most of the city's criteria for temporary use permit. What does it not meet?
Well, he has not, I think that he just said he's not had the electrical inspector look at all of his electric that he set up. He did have to meet with the utilities department as far as his connections went. He did have to meet with the fire department for the installation of a fire hydrant to service it. Other than that, it looks like all of his spacing is correct. He does have a fence around the property. So it would be just the fact that he's not finished out with the electrical inspector, and he's now undertaken since, I think, maybe the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, he's undertaken hooking into city utilities were the things that were left lacking.
Mr. Patterson, how long has this been in existence?
It was installed last year. I would have to ask the applicant exactly when it went in. When code enforcement was made aware of it is when we started pursuing it, and that was at the end of last year.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Further questions from the council? Councilman?
That's for Jeff. For Jeff, the P&Z, is the denial right? It's been denied by them, 2-3?
They recommend a denial, yes, sir.
2-2 has been denied already?
Yes, sir.
By the P&Z?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Anyone else against the ordinance, against the use? Please state your name for the record, please.
Yes, my name is Jerry Fanning, Jr., and I had a whole lot to say, but I think everybody's pretty much beat me to it, and for the essence of time, I will just make this short. My home sits directly south and east of this proposed change. I've only lived in Riverbend for about 4 months, and my wife and I selected Riverbend because of a nice, close-knit community and its reputation it has for the controlled, regulated senior living area. The establishment of this temporary housing facility as proposed has a huge potential to disrupt the comfortable lifestyle that most of us residents at Riverbend have grown accustomed to enjoy. This is evidenced by the number of residents' signatures in opposition to this change. The introduction of the temporary housing will introduce persons into the area that have no permanent ties, has been stated, that they're looking for someplace else to go. And I feel like once an exception is made to the change of the classification of this area, that you're opening up an opportunity for others throughout the city to request the same exceptions, something, in my opinion, would be very difficult for the council to control. The intent of the owners is well meant, no doubt about that, we've heard it. And when they did what they did, but the fact is, they violated the rules. And I think we've heard this, that they've been in violation of the rules now for maybe up to a year. And that's not changed anything in what they're doing. They've continued forward with the idea that this thing would be approved and everything would be fine. And I think that's a huge assumption on the owner's part that was probably not well thought out. In fact, as evidenced by their statement that they went ahead with what they were doing, they planned to upgrade the sewer, all the utilities. This in itself, I think, should raise concern to the council that not having the approval, knowing they're doing wrong, didn't stop anything what they were doing. So for all these, there's plenty of permitted trailer spaces in Carlsbad. We made that statement a while ago, and we believe that there's places for these folks to go, so we're not trying to put them out on the street, and I think the council would be in good consideration of if denied this exception to allow these people a certain period of time to relocate. And as a resident there, I would be more than favorable to that, a reasonable time. So as for all the reasons stated before and what I've stated, I'm requesting that the council would please deny this change at the 410 Rio Hondo Avenue. Thank you.
Question for Mr. Fanning? Thank you, Mr. Fanning. Anyone else against the use? If not, does the council have any other further questions?
Mayor, I'm just trying to think back. I'm trying to think of other similar sizes in the city limit that I'm trying to think of other things we've considered in the last. We've seen a million of them in the last few years. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of anything else in this inside the city limits that was in the borderline criteria. I mean, obviously the less than 2 acres we decided that was a don't even bring it to us for considerance of a variance. But what other temporary? Can you think of any specifically that we've done?
Councilor
inside
Carter,
the city limits?
The one on Main Street?
Yeah, but no, I'm talking about the, oh, that meets the, well, that's before we
started doing them. Yeah, the one on Main Street is similar as far as the land size, the acreage. There was one approved out on Hidalgo Road that's in the city limits for the Lunsfords that was similar size and similar numbers. They installed initially 4, and they didn't meet the 2 acres prior to council removing that criteria from the variance process. I can't think of any similar size, and I really can't think of any that are in this close proximity to an established neighborhood. Yes, similar size, higher numbers. But as you know, it's located out on National Parks Highway, right on the highway. They are close to more residential uses there. Most of the ones that are coming to my mind are much larger scale and more located at the periphery of town, of the city limits, where there's ample space and located along a higher traffic corridor. I'm thinking San Jose Boulevard, Boyd Drive, Kircher Street, out there.
The only reason I ask is I separating fact from emotion, right? Because the emotional aspect of 170 signatures weighs heavily with you, especially as an elected official. On the other hand, you want to be consistent with your decisions. If we've allowed these kind of things in the past before, it's hard to say no. I mean, so I can see both sides. So that's why I'm hesitant to go one way or another. I mean, coming into here, I was a hard no just because of the fact that I know a lot of people that live in those community, and this happens to be my area. So things that I've voted in favor for, you know, in the past have been in leases. And I tell Lisa, well, you know, it's a not in my backyard type situation. And I hate for that to apply to me because I've been the person on the other end of that throwing mud saying, well, it would be different, you know, if it's as long as it's not in my backyard. Well, this is in my backyard. So I can see I can't use that as an excuse anymore to people. So it's something to. Yeah. Yes, sir. Or I don't have that authority. Maybe he does.
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to let everybody
jump
know
up
that,
there.
I just want to let everyone know that me and my wife has invested our own land and money for this community. And you know, if it's not 5 RVs, if it's 2 or 3, just to get some money back. If it's for 2 years or 3 years. Because if not, we're going to be in a great financial loss. I mean, I did it for the right reason, and I apologize for not pulling the permits. I didn't. This is my third city meeting in my whole life. You know, I'm very new to this. So I truly did do it for the right reason, and I invested. I would hope the city council and the city would help me support the law enforcement community and the medical personnel. And just saying that, it's personal for us to do that for other people, and I just hope y'all consider that.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor, can I ask a question?
Councilman.
Mr. Patterson, the temporary use permits are renewed how often?
They are good for 5 years.
And we have no wiggle room on that?
We do. There is a provision in the ordinance that allows the city administrator to call for a cease of operation if we decide that the need is no longer there for this type of housing. We built that in, understanding that a lot of times when we're responding to the oil and gas industry, when it's boom or bust, if the need for this went away wholesale, that the city administrator could step in. And I'm sure that that would be from, you know, direction from elected officials. So that provision is in there, but normally we approve these and we understand that they are for 5 years.
So I know that this temporary housing ordinance has gone through a couple different iterations over the years as we've refined and learned and those type of things. Since we began doing this, we haven't experienced the downturn that we're looking at right now, but nobody knows what the future holds. And just because I honestly don't remember, is there any kind of criteria for the city administrator to look at it and to cease the issuance of these permits, or how does that go about? So I guess what I'm saying is, let's just say we have only 50% occupancy in the city. Would that mean that we would look at not issuing any more? Would we take away the ones that are there? How do we envision this, and how does that work? I'm sorry if that's a loaded question. I know it's a loaded question.
Well, you know, at the risk of speaking for the administrator's office, I think, you know, conversations that have been had when we were building this ordinance and then when we were going through and altering it as needed, the main criteria for evaluating that's need. Now, there are provisions built in there that the administrator or his designee could step in if we saw repeated police calls to a park, if it became a nuisance for the surrounding properties, numerous code enforcement violations, or a refusal to meet standard criteria for the park. Other than that, I think that the conversation would probably begin with an overall need or lack of, as viewed by the community, by city staff, by elected officials, and then probably would start with not approving new ones if we saw that the need was at a point where we didn't think that there was additional spaces that were going to be needed to accommodate the crush of people coming in. You know, that's why we built the ordinance in the first place, was to meet a dire need quickly. And so we tried to build it with to give the city some authority to address these things maybe going away at some point. But that decision resides solely with the elected officials in the administrator's office.
Just to throw this out there, I think the thing that bothers me the most about this is that the temporary use application was submitted on February the 18th, and there was work done after that. Hey, correct me if I'm wrong. Am I incorrect, Mr. Pettis?
No, there has been no work done.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay. Okay, thank you. I apologize.
I have a question. This would be law enforcement. Since there have been residents there, has there been issues
where not to my knowledge.
Law enforcement has to be called in?
Not to my knowledge.
Are they loud?
I have not received that complaint from the neighborhood.
So they're good citizens, basically. They've been
good citizens. As far as I know, yes.
Okay.
Further questions for Mr. Patterson? Ms. Watson.
I just want to say that I understand that Mr. Perez has spent a lot of money. Again, my heart goes out to him, not just for reaching out to the officers, and they're all wonderful people, and we acknowledge that. Lakeview Christian Home is a nonprofit entity. We built this community with seniors in mind, and we have spent millions of dollars. We've had a direct economic impact since these mobile homes, or these RVs, have been in our community. You cannot drive down into the entrance down Plum Lane without passing and seeing five, now four, one just moved out, four RVs standing right at the entrance of our community. I'm the sales and marketing director. I tour that property every week. The comments I have gotten in the last year have had a direct economic impact on us. We are not a great, big, huge for-profit corporation. We service our seniors. They have a need in this community as well. As nice and quiet and peaceful as these neighbors are, and I will attest they are, that is not the issue. We are important too, and our 110 residents that live there are important. The new homes we are building will absolutely be economically impacted if this is allowed to stay. If you decide there is a temporary way for a year or two, it will be almost impossible for us to come back and have to face the same situation again. This is the time to make a decision, and we pray you'll make the right one.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
To answer your question, City Councilwoman, there have been no officer responses to Mr. Pettis's property since he's installed these RVs on there. They are upstanding citizens of the community now that they reside here. Most of the responses that we have to your typical RV park are from the man camps. We have at least two or three a day to your typical man camp RV parks within the city. And I can pull stats for the city council if you would like that. Also, this man is a very upstanding citizen. He loves his job, he loves his people, and maybe he didn't go the proper route about it, but at the time, there was a high demand. There were no spots for these people to come and live in Carlsbad because of the oil boom. We all know that because of the COVID, that's why there are so many RV spots available right now and why the cost of living has gone down in the town. The boom will come back. Once the COVID is over, the boom will come back, and these people will have to be living in these unsafe RV parks again. And contrary to popular belief, police officers, law enforcement, they're not popular to everyone, especially in the oil field community. So they'll be putting their lives on risk by living in RV parks. So just take it into consideration that maybe the proper measures were not taken, but at the time there was nowhere for these people to live. And he was trying to get the demand of us needing officers. We did not have enough officers in this town. We were recruiting on a daily basis, and he was giving them a place to stay.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else? Yes, ma'am. You state your name for the record, please.
My name is Megan Perez. I'm Mr. Perez's wife, the homeowner. I just want to say that we are willing to work with the Riverbend community in whatever fashion that means. If that means fewer spaces, say they would prefer for us to only have three spaces, we're willing to work with them. If they would like for us to, there's already a 6-foot fence all the way around the property, but if they would like for us to extend that fence higher, so, because a lot of what I'm hearing is the visual impact that this is having. That's kind of what I'm hearing, that's their biggest concern. We're willing to work with them 100%. If they would like a raised fence, we're completely willing to make a higher fence so that way they don't see the RVs. Quite a while ago, they did mention one time, they're like, we walk out our back door and we see the RVs. Can you put a trees? We went and spent $700 on trees and put two big trees back there to help block the view for them. So we've already worked with them as far as that's concerned in the past, because that's the only complaint or anything they've ever said to us was the view from their backyards. So we went out and we spent money and we bought some really nice big trees. But I just want to say, you know, if you do approve it, which I'm praying that you do, we're completely willing to work with them so that the visual impact is not as big. If we need to put a fence on the Plum Lane side and you know, a higher fence so that they're not as visible, we're completely open to that. If we need to add additional landscaping and trees, we bought 14 trees for the Plum Lane side. We put trees there, which they're going to grow. They're about 12 foot right now, but they'll grow. They'll be bigger to block that view from Plum Lane. So we've already done improvements as far as landscaping are concerned to help with the visual, because I get that too. I don't want to pull up to my house and automatically see RVs either. And when you pull up to the front of our house where the mailbox is, the entire community goes to that mailbox, including us. When you pull up to the front of the house, you cannot see those RVs at all, where they are located in the back. I do understand, you know, from the back side, you can see them. And from Plum Lane on the street, driving in, you can see them. But when you pull up to the property and you go to check those mailboxes and stuff, you can't see them at all. And we're, like I said, 100% willing to work with the community to make, you know, more trees if they'd like, or if, and that's what they requested before, more trees or a higher fence, so that way the visual aspect of it is not as great for them. So I just want to let you guys know that we are willing to work with the community to make sure that it is aesthetically pleasing as much as possible.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? If not, what's the pleasure of the council?
Mayor, I would like to make a motion for denial.
We have a motion to deny. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second for denial. Hmm. There's been a motion and a second for denial. Motion by Mr. Rodriguez.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
No.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
No.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
The count?
5-3.
5-3, the motion's denied.
No, it's up, yeah.
They won.
No, the motion passed. The motion passed 5-3. There's 5 yes votes. The motion was to deny. First and second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for denial.
The motion passed. Okay. The temporary use is denied.
Correct.
Number 7, consider approval of resolution number 2020-17, a resolution requesting that the governor reopen businesses and nonprofits closed by executive and public health orders. I have some comments I'd like to make. Do you have anything before? Okay. This is a resolution very similar to what has been passed in Eddy and Lee counties and what is now being introduced to other communities across the state. If this resolution passes, it will recommend that the governor and the New Mexico Department of Health allow businesses who do not fall within the secretary's definition of essential business to reopen immediately while implementing the same safeguards that other businesses have implemented. Our small business owners are suffering, and they see overflowing parking lots at the big box stores, which doesn't make sense if we are being told that this is all about social distancing. The current system is not fair, and economies across the state, including our own, are suffering. This is not dismissive of the public health crisis we are all facing. but we are recommending a path forward that more fairly takes into account health and economic concerns in a more logical manner. The New Mexico Business Coalition has outlined a similar path that offers good solutions. It is also worth pointing out that Texas is allowing businesses to open at a limited capacity now. All we are asking is that we give our businesses a fair chance. Finally, the postponement of elective surgeries causes a serious health crisis, as these delays lead to more dangerous and more costly medical procedures down the road. The feedback we have received from our citizens has been overwhelmingly in support of this resolution, which will let Governor Lujan Grisham know of our community's opinion on this matter. And we have the CDOD President Craig Stevens and Executive Director John Waters with us tonight, and I think both of you have a statement you'd like to make. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I would like to start out by thanking all of you all for your service. It's a hard job. We all appreciate it. As Dale said, I'm the current president of the DOD. We are in support of this resolution. We think it's vitally important that we safely, organized, and deliberately open our small businesses. There's a way you can do that. I think this ordinance would provide that. We want to be sure that the employees are safe, that their customers are also safe. I wore this shirt on purpose because it advertises a bunch of small businesses on it, and this is the lifeblood of our community.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I think this is the first day I've actually worn a tie in, over a month. Yeah. It's kind of disconcerting to me because we have a lot of work to do in our nonprofit, and of course we're working from home. All of our staff members are, and we're working hard to try to help the businesses out. But we know they're hurting out there. We hear it every day. We hear the small businesses that are talking about having to lay people off. Your point is very well taken about the small businesses being sitting on the sidelines while the big businesses that are run from other places are essentially making all the money. Now we're going to add to that Texas. We can't buy clothes here, and clothes are essential. We all have to wear them every day. If we can't buy clothes here and Texas opens up, where do you think people are going to go shop for their clothes? They're going to Odessa, they're going to Midland, they're going to El Paso, Lubbock. We're going to be losing that. So I would like to the governor to consider one thing when she thinks about what an essential business is. How do we pay for our police force? How do we pay for our firefighters? We pay for them with gross receipts tax. Gross receipts tax supports our general fund. Small businesses are the ones that support that gross receipts. Without the gross receipts, we lose the ability, without substantial assistance from the state government and the federal government, to pay for the people that provide for our safety, that provide every day for the work that needs to be done to keep our roads safe and keep things running in the community. So I would say that as we are all in support of this resolution, we're hopeful that the governor reconsiders her definition of what is essential, because a city cannot run without its small businesses. So thank you as a council, and thank you, Mr. Mayor, for considering this. We're proud of you for doing it. We know in some places it's not popular, but we believe it's the right move. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Mayor
Pro Tem Rodriguez.
We get daily reports on the numbers, which counties have coronavirus, how many cases they have, how many new cases, how many deaths. I appreciate people looking at this in a logical, scientific manner and exhibiting best practices. But one thing I'd like the governor to consider is the fact that we have four counties who account for 82.35% of the COVID cases in New Mexico. We have 33 counties in New Mexico. Four of them account for 82.35% of those cases. So 12% of New Mexico accounts for 82% of the cases. The next five counties account for right at 12%, 11.97%. So we have nine counties that are counting for all of that. The break point comes at 24 counties that remain, each of which has less than 1% of COVID cases in it, of the total cases. It breaks down, the top line there is Chavez County with 22, and that's 0.74% of the total cases. Eddy County, just for a good measure, at 12 is 0.40. And we've got some that have zero. They don't have any cases at all. So if our governor is truly to attack this thing logically and scientifically, we should have tiered response actions taken in these counties accordingly. The highest of which should be those first four. The next highest level should be the following five. And the rest of us should be allowed to operate as close to normal as possible, as long as our incidents don't increase. If we can do this walking through Albertsons, Walmart, Lowe's, and La Tienda, we can do it walking through Mark Wilkie's shop getting my boots resold. We should be able to walk into Mark's shop and buy flowers. I think we can handle this. I think we got it.
I'm right.
Good point.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Anyone else?
Dale, I'd like to say something too while we're talking about this kind of thing. It incenses me when anybody tries to say who's essential. Wes Carter, you know what I'm talking about. When you start a business and someone tells you you can't come to work for a month, what does that do to you? You know, everybody's essential. And I think it's just crazy for anybody to say that we're not essential. You know, I think there's other ways to do this. And the way we've done this is not what I think is the appropriate way. So I totally agree with Eddie. I think that's the right way to go. I think we need to open up immediately. So, thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Mayor, if I may. So I believe the number that I've heard is that about 80% of Eddy County workers are considered essential already. And I think that the fact that our numbers are so low, yet we have such a high percentage that are going to work is remarkable. Mm-hmm. So as the city representative on the Department of Development Board and the Chamber of Commerce, as well as a small business owner myself, I would move for approval of this resolution.
I would
we have
second.
A motion.
Second.
Not a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Stevens.
Thank you.
And Mr. Waters.
Thank you, Mr. Waters.
Number eight, consider approval of resolution 2020-18, a resolution requiring the removal of the trash and debris at 310 North Main, owners Franklin and Danny Kinder. Ms. Reardon.
This is a property on Main Street. In my mind, I put it across the street from Mi Casita. Essentially, it's in that area. That is primarily a residential with some mixed commercial in it. This is a property that code enforcement has been dealing with since September of 2018. The primary issue, if you've looked at the photos, and we did give you updated photos, they're on your desk, is that there's a large amount of outside storage of, again, somewhat random items. You can see in that there's tires, there's furniture, there's appliances, there's wood, there's buckets, kind of Tupperware tubs. And there is some weed and kind of general trash, but the primary concern is this large amount of storage. As you can see from the photos, some of that is covered in tarps, but a lot of it is just there. There's some cloth that's been laid up or across the fence. I don't know whether that's carpeting or cloth. Code enforcement has dealt with the owners of this. They're listed in the by the county as Franklin D. and Danny Lee Kinder. It is our understanding that they got the property from their father, but both the father and Danny Lee have passed away. Code enforcement has talked with both the owner of the property, who I'm assuming would be Franklin is who they've spoken to, and a neighbor that assists with the Kinders. Unfortunately, though, they have not seen much improvement in the property and certainly no sustained improvement. This was after an inspection by the code enforcement and by the fire marshal, both recommended that this be brought before council since voluntary compliance has not been gained. We did send out a letter. It was picked up by, the signature appears to be that of Franklin Kinder. I have not had any contact with him. And is there anybody out? Wait, there's no one here, but he did pick up the letter. The letter, of course, tells him about tonight's meeting, invites him to come to the meeting, and lists my name and my office phone number as a possible contact.
Question for Ms. Reardon?
Question, Mayor. Is somebody living there right now?
It is our, I will say that the address listed by the county assessor for the owner, Mr. Kinder, is this address, and the letter was picked up there. It is our understanding that from code enforcement that he did reside there. Now, does he have another place to reside as well? I don't know.
Further questions? Thank you, Ms. Reardon.
Make a motion for approval, Mayor.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
Second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Number 9, consider approval of resolution 2020-19, a resolution requiring the removal of weeds, trash, and debris at 901 Monterey Street. Owner, Ashley Hernandez. Again, Ms. Reardon.
This, too, is a property that code enforcement has been dealing with for some time, not nearly as long as the last property. This is a property that they have been dealing with the owners since about a year ago, maybe about 8 months. As you can see from it, in this case, the primary concern is tall weeds, tall grass, and some, it looks like a cut-down tree or tree limbs or shrubbery that's been kind of piled up but not removed from the property. You can see that primarily in the photo. You do have some updated photos on your desk that we had taken earlier this week. Again, this is something where code enforcement has been in contact with the owners. They've asked for voluntary compliance. They've explained to them what the issue is, and they are not seeing improvement in the property. This, too, we sent out a letter. This was, according to, you know, nowadays we send it out certified. You can go online and look at the USPS tracking. They show, according to the statement, that they show that the USPS attempted to deliver the letter on April 23rd here in Carlsbad. But because it's a certified letter, it'd have to be signed for. No one has signed for it. And as of our check on the USPS website today, no one had signed for it. But it has been at their house for several days now, or they've been notified of it. The address of the owner is listed as being the same address as this property. To our understanding, that is where they live. So as you can see from the property, this is primarily a weed and not as... The other property was more junk and items. This is more weed and vegetation.
Question for Ms. Reardon. Thank you, Ms. Reardon.
Eileen, someone is which obviously one? Living there, though, right? There's somebody is there.
That is our assumption, yes.
Yeah, okay.
That somebody lives there.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And based on the mailing address, it probably is the owner, but...
Yeah.
What are the questions?
What do we do when you know someone's living there and it's like this? What do you do?
Well, code enforcement's habit is to, whether it comes to their attention because they've seen it or whether somebody else has seen it and brought it to our attention, once it comes to code enforcement's attention, they typically go out. They try to make in-person contact if it looks like the property's occupied. They go and they look on the county website to check ownership records. Mm-hmm. Once they determine an owner, if they leave a hanger on the door, and they'll try that a couple of times to, you know, get the resident to clean this up or to put the resident on notice that there's an issue, then they will begin to send letters to that address. They will attempt to talk to the owner. If there's no compliance and the problem either continues or worsens, then that's when we involve counsel.
Further questions? Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion for approval.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
A second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Strada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Number 10, council committee reports. Is any councilor have updates? Any council reports?
I report we can't have any meetings.
Not yet.
I have a little update here I'd like to read. Mr. Mayor and Chief of Fire Department and Ambulance Service, March 16th and April 19th. I called for ambulance service due to my wife's medical problems. The EMTs and supervisors were great. Service was fast and respectful. Carlsbad should be proud of this service. On April 19th, there was a lieutenant supervisor there. I can't remember his name because I was so worried about my wife. He is a super person. He assisted me with hygiene by holding my wife while I cleaned her up. The city of Carlsbad better keep this man. He is cool-headed in an emergency and intelligent. The other two EMTs were very good, but the lieutenant was great. Thank you so much. And then we've checked with Fire Chief Lopez and the crew on March 16th and consisted of Lieutenant John Riddle, Engineer Brandon Lee, and Firefighter Josh Dorado. The crew on March 19th was Lieutenant Scott Maxwell, Engineer Jesse Ramirez, and Firefighter Samuel Soto III. Congratulations to all six Carlsbad Fire Department employees, especially Lieutenant Maxwell, for especially standing out. We're very honored to have such a professional force. So very good. Good to get compliments like this. Any counselor have anything?
Mayor, they brought some concerns to me as to the golf course. And is there any possibilities we can, or do we have to wait on the governor to reopen?
That's high on our priority list. But we think that the governor's going to have a press conference tomorrow and maybe ease up the restrictions somewhat. So that might be in the in the press release tomorrow. We hope so.
Department of Homeland Security stated that shooting ranges are essential, part of the essential business as well.
I second that.
Thank you. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the council? No one in the audience.
Grass at the firing range.
If not, I'd call on Councilor Lisa Anaya Flores.
I make a motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. And a second, if no further discussion, call for the vote.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Strada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
We're adjourned.